Before we get into today's episode recapping the Nuclear War Now Hospital Productions Japan Fest, wanted to let everyone know that the remaining merchandise from the Hospital Productions merch table will be available at 6 p.m. Eastern at hospitalproductions.net. That is today, Wednesday, April 24th at 6 p.m. Eastern, hospitalproductions.net.
You're listening to Noise Extra. I'm Gray Holger, here with my co-host Tara Connolly.
Hello.
And Mike Connolly.
Hello.
Boy, it felt good to say that.
Yes, it has been a few weeks, but we are back from Japan. And yes, today's episode is going to be all about the Nuclear War Now Hospital Japan Fest Volume 1.
And listeners will have to bear with me as the Connollys have had their own private haters-style gigs going on next door to them at times. I now have some construction. My neighbor's bathroom exploded, and there's been a toilet on their front porch for like the past 4 days.
Well, that is why we can't hear anything over here. So hopefully it is fine. And
well, maybe your neighbors are having a Toto installed, Gray. Did you ever think of that?
Dude.
Because we've been really thinking about that since coming back from Japan.
Researching Totos. Hey, quickly though, just so everyone knows, before we get into all this, that today's extra Noise Extra segment will be on all the other things we did in Japan, going to wrestling, going to the Godzilla store, so many other things. But one of those other things we just got to talk about here at the top, and I think everyone who was there or who has ever been to Japan feels the same way. Toto toilets, my God, we've absolutely been researching those. They are a life changer. They're a game changer. Now, let me be clear. We, the Connollys, are a fresh wipes family.
Oh my.
So don't think that we are some sort of savages. We are clean as whistles down there.
I mean, we're savages in many ways.
Absolutely. But, we are very, very.
Well, I'm glad that you qualified that.
Well, I just want to say that I don't want anyone to think that since we don't have a Toto or a Toto-like thing that we are foul and disgusting, and we are
beastly downtown, but we're not
absolutely fresh and clean. But Totos are a game changer, and Gray, I know that you have been preaching the gospel of the bidet for a while, and I'll tell you what, we are absolute converts and have been shopping
now.
All it takes is like a couple uses and then you're like, wait, what? Why don't I have one of these? The Totos though are a special breed. The one I have has adjustable pressure, like there's a dial you turn for the pressure, but it's not heated, and my toilet seat certainly isn't heated. Now, we live in Southern California, so the heated seat isn't a strict necessity. It's like barely moderately temperate here the whole time, and you're not going to sit on a freezing toilet seat usually. But yeah, the Toto, it was even the like public restrooms in restaurants and stuff like that. Dude,
every single one, and
except for McDonald's, everything spick and span. Now, yeah. I will say, I could do without the heated seat and when it's warm outside. I found that alarming. But everything else, I mean, I could see where in the wintertime that would be really nice.
And hey, let me say, I still, the gospel of the fresh wipe, I still stand by. And I do say you still need one to finish everything
just
off.
Add into that regimen.
And you know, I'm giving a public service announcement to all our listeners to keep it clean down there. Cause hey, you never know when someone's ready for action, you need to be ready for action. But I guarantee every single person who was there had the same revelation. And all I could think of was every single Japanese person who comes to the States must be absolutely disgusted.
Just horrified. What if somebody went to Churchill's straight from Japan in Miami? Would they just weep?
Hey, anywhere. Anywhere. One of the nicest executive bathrooms you can have. They must still think we're savages.
Imagine this. Candle.
Third organ, Kazumoto Endo coming to Green Door.
I'm retroactively embarrassed for everyone. Anyone, it's just, look.
Yeah, how did that green door bathroom, I do remember if there was a show there, the floor would be wet. Like, what made the floor so wet in that bathroom?
Do you remember the sink, the poured concrete sink that had weird brass fittings with like a 8-inch wide waterfall spout on it? It was like a nice bathroom in a shitty place. Like mentality. I think it was just people not paying any attention and just splashing everywhere.
Yeah.
Well hey, enough of this foul talk, but hey, everybody, Toto's bidets, game changer. But guys, holy crap. How much fun did everyone have in Japan?
One of the best times of my life. That was so much fun. Both just being in Japan, going to an awesome fest, seeing so many friends, meeting so many listeners who also made the trek. There were so many cool things about it.
Oh, and everyone who came up to us and introduced yourself, like, thank you so much. That really was a pleasure. And also thank you for providing your name, even if we already know you.
We had so much fun just running into people throughout the days, especially after the fest, because it was just fest shirts roaming the streets of Osaka. Yeah. So we would just run into people. And that's sort of how the whole trip ended up going. I think we'll just go through more or less in order of just our days there as well as the shows here. I think that'll be a good structure for us to talk about this. And just right up front, though, really, really have to say, I've been trying to find the strong enough words. There aren't strong enough words, so bear with me if these words are weak, but the 8 gazillion thank yous to Dom and Becca, also obviously Yusuke, you know, who, you know, obviously half of the fest being nuclear now, but for our day and our people, you know, Dom and Becca, what they did and what they provided for all of us, not only everyone who played, but the reason we were all just having a blast in Japan, the fest and then everything else around the fest was absolutely directly because of their hard work for over a year, really over 25 years, 26 years, really over however the day that they were born, they've been putting in the work to get us to Japan. So just the most thank yous that anyone could ever bestow upon
immeasurable.
Them. Yeah. So we definitely have to say that, but also everyone who worked and put together this, Yusuke, you know, Monos, Tamaki doing the, you know, helped us so much with translation backstage and all that. And everyone else who just worked. Thank you to everyone. Just right up front, everyone involved in this. We can't thank you all enough.
It was such a great time, and we got in a day early, so we had a day of hanging out and running into, well, the hotel we stayed at, luckily a bunch of familiar faces would be greeting you in the lobby, out front, and also the great restaurant under the hotel where we got quite friendly with the people who work there.
Oh, dude, we were... We missed the restaurant staff. We had so much fun with them. But yeah, the way the entire trip seemed to go, especially when we were walking around, as I said, we just were an amoeba that would just keep... People would just... We'd meet up with people and then they'd be with our group for a little bit and
gather
then a
more
couple
people.
More people. But really, yeah, have to... say that Pat and Mark Skin Crime were constant companions throughout the entire trip.
Great.
We just kept either running into them, planning on meeting them, or mostly just running into them. But making plans was sort of unnecessary because you just would end up running into people. And it was just hard for everyone's schedule. Some people would get up so early just because sleep was so weird that you'd start a little earlier than some others. Sometimes you want to take a minute to just get ready. But ultimately, you knew that you were just going to meet up and morph with a great group. But yeah, that first day.
I miss Pat and Mark. It felt weird when we all kind of finally went our separate ways.
Well, it was like 8 false endings.
Yes, it was.
It was like a giallo. It was like watching Inferno or something. Just, another ending with these characters. All right.
But that first day, we really just walked around and learned the subway in Osaka. And I got to say, anyone who hasn't gone... For us, it was the intimidation in general was the language, or is it going to be hard to get around? Yes. Are we going to not understand the subway? man, after the first morning, I felt, oh, okay, we're good. This we got this.
Yeah, and truly, like you can use your phone to get directions on
Google
any
Maps
public transit system. So yeah, it was surprisingly easy. And this is coming from me. I get lost in places that I'm familiar with. Yeah. So if I can find my way around, you can certainly find your way around.
The best subway system I've used, especially in regards to using the maps or even knowing where you need to go after getting out of the subway, because there's multiple exits from every station. The subway inside the subway displays which direction to which exit. So like our hotel was out of exit 3 at our stop. So we knew that if we got in car 1 and took a left, we would be right near exit 3 when we got there. You wouldn't have to do any extra walking or trekking, which isn't the biggest deal, but if you got to carry gear or merch, or it was raining part of the time we were there, maybe you don't want to walk in the rain or drag your gear further through a subway station than you have to. And so even that kind of stuff was really easy to figure out. And as a vegetarian, food was a lot easier to navigate than I had thought as well. There's a lot of options. You have to be wary of the stuff, like there might be bonito in a lot of things, so just dodge that. But
surprise
fish was a real thing. Even the first night we went to that restaurant and they brought us out some dashi, and I'm just like, wow, I can't eat this.
so good. And yeah, we did.
That was
we
not
announced
a surprise
to Gray
fish,
that but- he it was all totally on him when we were there, because we were gonna eat. We were going to go for it and really experience Japanese food. In fact, the first night I had organ meat, fantastic. So yeah. I was like, Gray, this is on you. And you ended up being no big deal. And then we ended up getting that great curry spot that had stuff for everybody.
That was a Matt Hurst recommendation.
There
Coco
you go. Shout out.
Yeah.
So it ended up, we were definitely a little worried for you if it was going to be a problem, but it didn't really end up being a problem. Obviously for us, we were eating the octopus balls, the organ meat. We went for it and
takoyaki.
Really,
I miss them right now. And
really enjoyed
the
food.
I only had one. Like I'll eat anything. I don't care. And I only had one weird experience where Mike kept getting these like little cream puff pastries.
Oh yeah,
and they were so good. They're like these little tiny pastries filled with cream puffs. A great pastry there. I was surprised by the amount of amazing bread, but. So I thought I was getting a bag of cream puffs at the train station, and I opened it up and I offered Mike one, and he was like, nope, that's not right. I don't know what that is. And I was like, let's see. And I popped one in my mouth. Yeah, I read the with cream, with cheese, filled with cream part. But the part that I didn't know was that it was pounded whitefish.
Yeah.
Cause the Translate app did not translate that part for me.
And so. Hey, maybe
pounded
they
fish
were
full
good,
of
but
cream.
The surprise was too much that we never tried it again. It was like, nah, I don't want that.
Pounded whitefish and cream is not good with coffee.
You really leaned into the cream puffs, and our friend Marcus from Cloister was also really all in on the cream puffs.
Oh, and a bunch of people responded to, especially Tara and us. We were all putting up, posts and stuff, and a lot of people responded to some of the different cream puff things and sending pictures that they got the exact same thing. And we have to give the biggest shout in the world to Family Mart. Oh my God.
Oh, Family Mart. 7-Eleven Family Mart. It's exactly as they describe.
All the food, all the prepackaged sandwiches are amazing. The sushi is amazing. The desserts are amazing. The Family's Boss coffee that we all just lived on.
Family's Boss.
Teeny tiny liquors.
Yeah, I really can't express enough. It's rare that I'll go anywhere. Places that are super great and exciting that by the last day, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to get home. It's time. Man, we were all just trying to convince ourselves to miss our flight. We're like, what if we just missed the flight? What would happen?
It'd be fine.
Once you got in, it was an absolute chaos madhouse for the merch. I've never seen anything like that.
The merch line went all the way through the entire first floor, up the stairs, and all the way through the second floor so far. Back even right after open, because we were right before or right after doors, on time
12:15, 12:05,
and also first person I ran into while waiting in line was Christian Olsen, which was a nice
that was great. Yeah, that was great. It was so So great to meet him in person for myself and Tara. So yeah, he was right with us, and it was really cool just getting to hang around with him all weekend.
Yeah, but that line went all the way back to where the GO merch table was, and so people were getting ready to stand in this line, and then a friend and former guest Kyle Wright was like, "GO merch is upstairs," and so I just followed him upstairs. I'm like, "I'll get in this line later," and then went and grabbed the GO merch, which was cleaned out by the end of day one.
They were shocked. So the merch zone upstairs was GO, Yellow Gas Flames, and Agonal Lust. We all were in a little corner in the upstairs, which was great because there were couches.
Yeah, and Skin Crime for a bit. But we had
Skin Crime for
too.
About two
Done.
Minutes.
Done.
And then they sold out their tapes.
Sold.
And then,
those tapes are fantastic.
Absolutely incredible. Ghost of Osaka. I'm trying to convince Pat to either do another edition or put him up on Bandcamp. Literally before
really,
we got on here,
really,
I was trying to convince
really
him to
do good.
Because it's an exceptional Skin Crime release. Yeah. But so that was our little zone up there. So we were watching the GO merch just get cleared out. And at one point, they just basically had a handful of CDs left. The shirts were gone. The fest tapes were gone. The new CDs were gone, which all is suffering comp of the recent 7 inches. And they were just like, we thought that we sent too much and we could have obviously just sent double. And people were very disappointed when they came up an hour later and it was all gone. You know,
I mean, I like when I saw that it was selling out and I was talking to, you know, friends that were waiting in the merch line, which was so much fun for me. I said, "Hey, have you hit the GO table yet?" And they were like, "Oh, there's GO over there." No, but they were pretty far in the line. And I was like, "Go now. I will hold your place. Yeah. It is worth it. You need to go get it right now." And they did. They got everything.
She was holding people's place in the hospital line so they could go get GO merch. She was...
I had a blast in the line. Like, I would say that was like so, so fun for me because, you know, while you're waiting in line, like everybody's... you know, coming up to you and you see so many people as they're walking around and then you kind of make friends with everybody who's waiting around you. I mean, I had an absolute blast. I talked to Kyle Wright, stood in line with me for a while. I had a blast.
It was really, really fun.
A lot of
Kyle Wright provided me with info on where the GO merch was. He was also the first person not in our crew that I saw that day. I went to get breakfast and my way back, Kyle and his wife were coming out of the subway. So that was a nice little treat too. So the run-ins like that just kept happening. Oh, yeah. Like I'm in line. Oh, I'm immediately behind Christian Olsen. Oh, I went to get breakfast. I'm walking back to the hotel. Kyle Wright's there. Like it was like that all weekend of just running into people and really cool. Also thanks to Chris Groves for helping me with my position in line for the merch table.
Everyone was just helping each other out. And that's the thing is, especially our people and on our day, just everyone was just, it really was this great moment of truly the small sadomasochistic family. That's what that's the term that has been used for so long that, you know, from hospital. And that's truly what it was. You know, I'm super against the word community. I hate that word. I'm against a lot of other words, but to me that the small sadomasochistic family is the right term. And that's what it was. It was just all of us just running into each other, grabbing a drink, Tara waiting for people in line, all the people, podcast listeners who came up to us who we'd never met before. It was so cool talking to everybody and then running into people on the street and then just going to the record stores together. So that was really, really fun. And yeah, so
hitting up Forever Records like 5 times.
I mean, look, I feel like that with my head is going to have to be some sort of addendum. I don't know if we can get into Forever Records
right now.
We
can't cover that right now, but
it was a pretty magical place.
No, it was truly fun. And like, you know, I think people were, it was like at most shows you're daunted by the line, but I had a blast. Like, I think it was like truly fun. Like everybody's just like, you need some food, you need a drink. What do you need? What'd you get? What are you going to do? You know, it was awesome.
It was also good that it was the first day.
Yes.
Was metal, at least for us, because I didn't miss any bands. There was enough time, I think, for most people in line. Like I was still in line when Evil went on.
Yeah.
But there was
the first band,
plenty of time for everyone to kind of get merch and then get settled in. Also, shout out to Gorilla Hall for the lockers.
Yes.
This is a thing that every venue should have. And we were actually talking about it a bit before recording. I was obsessed with these lockers. They cost like $2. You get a key. And every time you got to, you know, take the key out again, you got to pay $2 if you want to lock it. It's fine. Yeah. Big enough to hold LPs.
I would love that.
Your jacket and your bag. I didn't have to worry about where to put all my merch and stuff at all the entire weekend. It was really fantastic way to just keep stuff there and not have the hassle of carrying it around, because so many times you're at a gig and, well, I don't want to buy a record because I got to carry it around. And then I don't want to buy a record at the end of the night because everyone's in line for merch and I just want to go home. I'm tired. No, you bought your stuff. You put it in a locker. You got it later and you were done with it. It was awesome.
It was really cool.
And you want to be up front and you have to carry your coat and you have to carry your bag and all this stuff. So like, if you're going to be standing up front all night, like, it's so awesome to put stuff in a locker. Like, why have we not adopted the system? We need to learn and take these two things. We need Totos and we need lockers of venues.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, the first day, you know, I was doing the Yellow Gaslane's merch. So I was busy doing merch, talking to people. Tara was doing the line thing, and Gray actually popped out for a bit to go see an exhibit, Soulmania exhibit, which is really cool.
Tara and I
never got a chance to do that. So a lot of the afternoon of the first day, admittedly, we were all preoccupied with some other things. So it wasn't until really the end of the night that we were able to really check out the bands. But I thought Evil was cool. It was cool checking out Abigail for a little bit, but a lot of the bands, we were all just either working, involved in some other things, like I said, Tara waiting in line, or Gray, you got to go see the Soulmania exhibit. And so, yeah, Sabbat, we had never seen Sabbat, and it was this great moment where it was exactly the band that needed to be on at that time. Long day, Sabbat, totally different than everything else that played, brought this crazy energy, this great old school black metal, Venom type black metal, right? With the cod pieces and the guys like basically completely nude and just total ripping 80s era metal.
Studded thong.
Dude, it was exactly just what needed to be there.
Absolute joy.
You could see the crowd, the energy in the crowd completely picked up.
It was so like a smile on every face. So much fun. Everybody was just immediately re-energized.
Yeah, it needed
it. It was fantastic. It needed,
and that's what any of these fests are there's these moments where that set is what's needed at the time.
Yeah.
And Sabbat was exactly what was needed to usher in the end of the night, which, look, you might say that we're biased. You all know we love this band. We've talked about this band multiple times. Departure Chandelier absolutely stole the show. Holy shit. Their first show, we were all like, I think Gray had the comment of like, have they just been practicing for 10 years? Like it was crazy. It was crazy to see. We know the song so much. We've listened to the album so much. To see it done live, the way they looked, the way they stood out from every single band that played that day, keyboards, lyrics you could understand, the way they all looked, absolutely blew every single one of us away.
Yeah, I was floored at how good it sounded. The mix was dead on. The playing was great. The vocals and just Pierre Marc's presence was awesome.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Radiating hatred.
Yeah, it was so good. And having jammed Antichrist Rise to Power so many times, and I'm newer to the newer record, Soldier of Fortune, but like just getting to enjoy those songs and also with a keyboard, like a five-piece band, right? So put together for a first show, and it just sounded great. And that's considering, you know, like one of the members isn't live in the same city as the other.
A lot, yeah, exactly. And knowing how it was all put together is unbelievable. And right after too, I was like, so 100 day tour, you guys booking it yet? And they're like, dude, I'm like, you know, but really, really, I hope they do a bunch more shows. If you get a chance to see Departure, you have to. No question was the standout of Saturday. And that's not just coming from us. Everyone we've talked to or seen, Departure was absolutely head and shoulders standout of the day. And even with some legends coming up after.
Dude, Lapke, his stage presence, just by the way, I just want to bring that up.
Cold. So yeah, it was just really a very special performance and set the tone for the rest of the weekend, at least if in my eyes, it really set me up for what was going to come after them and then what was going to come all Sunday. So departure and the video. I mean, that's the thing is right now we're giving one of the biggest shout outs to one of the behind the scenes people that takes no credit, doesn't ask for credit, doesn't want credit, but we're giving him credit right now. AJ with the lights and the videos, especially on our day when we saw just what he did with all the videos, especially when we were playing, because we didn't get a chance to see it, you know, really when we were playing, but we've seen it in video since. AJ was one of the unsung heroes of not only this fest, but all the hospital fests and shows where he's the one doing those videos, the lights. And
he makes
just,
everything look so professional.
Because it is. It doesn't even look. It just is.
And it's so... The way that it's put together is really, really natural. And I don't think that his visuals and what he does detracts from a performance. Like sometimes, especially with sound, you know, I'll find myself just watching the video and I remember the video more than the performance. And that's not the case. Like what he does really enhances what everybody else enhances.
It nicely.
Yeah. It just blends together so well. And, you know, you have to commend him because there's not many people that can
well, definitely.
That.
Talk more about that on day two, but really great work. And also I remember that he did so much at the Hospital Fest in New York that we went to not just running video, but like setting all that stuff up and getting it all working. It wasn't just, I'm pressing play on my video project. There's so much more that goes into it. So really, really awesome. Blasphemy.
So good.
Terrifying.
Yeah, so good. Great.
Look terrifying.
They make their instruments look like so diminutive, you know? These guys are enormous and even the way, you know, they're holding them, it just seems so like it's a part of themselves, you know what I mean? It's like this effortless resentment to everybody around them. And I think it's really, really beautiful. And I absolutely enjoyed it.
And to do that for an hour,
God,
I don't understand
it. Amazing.
You know, like it's so precise, you know, brutal, but also like they nailed it every time, you know, when, you know, the vocals hit at the right, all the perfect times. And yeah, it was really cool getting to see them. Obviously legendary band.
Blasphemy was fantastic.
Yeah. That we never got a chance to see. And was a cool thing to come after Departure. Cause it is so, so different. So it was a Sabbat, Departure, Blasphemy. All three bands were totally different. And so it all complemented each other in this
great
way.
Yeah. We just see this intensive, like, red, white, and blue lighting and like these,
Napoleonic
imagery, all of this, like, and it was just so unbelievably intense. And then you go right into Blasphemy.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah. Really cool. And the crowd was just going crazy for them.
Yeah. I mean, they make it look effortless. They should, they've been doing it for 40 years.
Yeah.
Right?
They
looked like you could have called them up 10 minutes before and they could have played a set this good. Like, cause they're just on. And the gnarliest thing to me was Nocturnal Grave Desecrator's grenade that he was wearing around his neck.
Dude, so great. So great.
Just a fantastic presence and a really killer sounding set. I was still reeling from Departure. And Blasphemy was, it took it up a notch in terms of like sheer intensity, volume, but didn't lose any of the impact from how great Departure was, but then just another ratchet further.
Yeah, just complimented. Again, it was it was all the final night really complimented.
Well, and it's great because everybody was so different, you know, like it wasn't the same thing over and over and over and over again. Like so many approaches, so many styles.
Yeah. Right. And the last four
really, really, you know, set it off.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And then obviously finishing off with what was the, one of the two projects that no one ever thought they were going to ever get to see. This one being the Saturday night project that no one ever thought they'd ever get to see, Beharit. And, you know, just what a strange setup. I mean, you know, dude looking like he just came out of Tatooine.
Yeah.
you know, not what you thought maybe Beharit was going to look like. I mean, the rest of the band was, but you know, like, so came out, had, was running the electronics and all the backing stuff. So you could play all the, you know, the, you know, the classics off Drawing Down the Moon. I mean, people were just going nuts for it.
Yeah. And everybody lost their mind.
Yeah.
Especially like we were, you know, up at the, on the balcony, so we could see, you know, the various pits and the, just the level of frenzy that was happening. So it was a great vantage point.
Yeah. And it's really cool too, because on one of the very first tours that I did with Dom, one of the CDs we got on day one was Oath of the Black Blood. And so it's just one of those things where we, I feel that's a, an album that is something that we have a strong connection to. And so to, you know, decades later to have them be headlining the fest was just a pretty crazy moment. And so seeing all that and seeing the crowd, it was a really, there's a lot of these moments throughout the weekend, but that was definitely one where like, this is pretty insane that this is happening.
Yeah. You know?
It was pretty insane. Like
it's,
really,
you know, it's insane to me is that people went out afterwards. I was like, after that day we had been there, what, like
12 hours
just going hard. And then everybody's like, you go into the after party. Like, I'm like,
absolutely not.
Barely keep my eyes open. Are you crazy?
Did we even go? We might've, I don't even think we had a drink in the, cause it would have been closed by the time we got back. Right?
Yeah. No, it was, it's open late on the weekends. We did go there after when we got back to the hotel.
We definitely went after the Sunday. Cause I remember.
We probably had some plum highballs.
Yeah. Because, and for us, obviously we had to get there early the next day. So we just didn't want to, we definitely didn't, because I made a point to, I had two beers throughout the whole day. Cause I didn't want to be hungover, for.
No, that's right. Yeah.
So I actually kept it really cool on that, on the Saturday. And we just, we tucked in as early as we could just so that we knew we were going to have a longer day.
We were very well behaved on that day, Mike. You're right. We did. Cause we had to get up at like 7 or 8.
Yeah. And we weren't even the earliest call. Obviously, you know, Dom and Becca were there, you know, hours before us, and all the people who had a sound check before us. We only line checked on, on Sunday.
Yeah. I think we got there at 9.
Yeah. We were picked up at 9. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, That's a fun wake up. So you, after 12 hours at a fest, then you go to bed and wake up, and then you have to do your hair and makeup for performance that day, but you have to do it at 8 a.m. And make it last.
Hey,
so that was fun.
That was definitely your sole issue. I think, I don't think anyone else who played that day had that issue.
Well, yeah, that's true. Now that I'm thinking about it.
You think Old Tower didn't do his makeup and hair? You're wrong.
Oh, you know what? There you go.
No, he did it backstage. No, he did it backstage.
The Spectre, that's true.
There was we all had rooms and the Spectre got ready there. I do know that. So yeah, bunch of hairspray was used. I fogged up that little tiny room pretty darn good that morning.
My favorite part was when we were on our way back to the States and you had to rearrange some stuff in your baggage. And I clearly saw a bottle of aerosol hairspray and they point to the sign of like, you don't have any of these in here. And you're like, nope. And there's just one sitting right on top of the stuff. You're
reorganizing. Right in my
bed. I think it's time to get into day two, the hospital day of the fest. And wow, absolutely have been reliving it every single day since.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it constantly and again, got there nice and early to see everything. There was no set that I didn't want to see.
No,
so
every second. Yeah.
Yeah. It made it really easy to just say, yeah, this is where I am all day.
It was totally packed both days, totally sold out and packed. That's the thing that I can't emphasize enough. Looking out, especially when we weren't playing, when we were up in the balcony, just seeing a packed room for Lionecraft, seeing a packed room for Agonal Lust, for everybody, for Third Organ, for Skin Crime. It was just something that I can't emphasize how exciting it was and the feeling that we were in this moment. And this was a real moment for noise and for the underground. And it was a true, true cultural moment that was just undescribable, but we're going to do our best to
do it
now.
And just like Dominic said, when they came out to just say a few words before the final act. And that was that the magic of this fest was that everybody who was there truly wanted to be there.
They had to make huge sacrifices, had to save up, had to go to a venue across the world. And somehow we all were there and we made it. And there was no hangers on.
Yeah, exactly. Going to a show because you got on the list, or going to a show because it's, you know, in your backyard, or because for any of the dumb reasons that you might go to one. But hey, and it was really, really apparent in the audience that we all absolutely wanted to be there and were thrilled to be there.
So day two starts with friend of the podcast, friend in real life, a band that we mentioned probably on every other recent listening since the beginning of the podcast, Lesuria. Perfect start to the day.
Yeah. When your opening act is Lesuria, it would seem like there's almost nowhere to go but down, but that's not the case with
That's what you were saying. Fest. Like, think about the magnitude of this fest. The opener's Lesuria. Like, that's like where, that's like how great this is, that like a headliner is the opener, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And if Jim pulled out a phenomenal ambient Lesuria set, put me right in the zone. The perfect way to start day two. I was adamant on getting there on time. Obviously, you guys had to go in earlier that day. The first day we traveled to the venue together. And the second day I went with some friends, and I just needed to be there before Lesuria went on because I didn't want to miss a second of that set.
And yes.
Not disappointed in the slightest. I mean, never have been. I just got to see him play a show with him out here some months ago. And so really great to also see this set, and it was different from when he was in LA last, which is great.
Totally. It was very much the Under Crumbled Stairs release. It was a lot of that material and that style. And I feel I've never really actually seen a total ambient Lesuria set. A lot of times he incorporates more rhythmic tracks or the drum tracks when playing live to incorporate some energy, but this needed to be the gateway into the day. So it didn't need any of that. It just needed total Lesuria atmosphere and ambience, and it absolutely delivered. So in a way, it was just this really fresh and exciting Lesuria set. And of course, we've just been loving Under Crumbled Stairs. So it was material from that. I want to say,
what an amazing Lesuria set. And the Lesuria set, the Skin Crime set, like, everybody did so much with the time they had, you know, because no one's playing for a super long amount of time.
Like short sets. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do feel like everything was condensed down to its like absolute essence. And like that set just, you know, moved through all of the elements of Lesuria with absolute perfection. It was
perfect way.
Every moment was potent.
Perfect way to start the day.
Yeah. But then what do you do to follow that up?
Well, switch it up a little bit, because now next we're getting Cult of Youth. We're getting a trio, stripped down trio of Cult of Youth. And before leading up to Japan, Tara and I had been listening to all the Cult of Youth albums, and I was excited to, I was going to like, you know, sing along.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to hear what tracks they picked to do. Well, threw you a curveball and played all brand new tracks, nothing
songs exclusively for this performance.
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, it was really cool that they did that. And Brett playing the drums, really holding it down. Have to shut up. Brett was really cool.
Yeah.
Seeing Brett a bunch this weekend, I kept running into him, and just a really great guy, Brett, Total Black. So obviously support Total Black. And it was just cool that having him holding it down on the drums. But yeah, super cool set. Obviously, Gray, you said very different from when you toured with Cult of Youth, you know, very, very different set and very different style, right?
Yeah. I've been seeing Cult of Youth for, you know, 14 years now or something. And have had the benefit of also touring with them and booking them here in Los Angeles when I used to do a monthly Maldoror. So a lot of Cult of Youth shows in my life, and this was a very distinctly different one. Although Paige still in the band, and she was in the band when I was touring with them too, playing cello, and then Brett on drums. Yeah, just a cool, weird set a different thing, but the band always changes and has been evolving since it started out just being Sean and going through a few different iterations. So nice to see a new era of Cult of Youth.
And shout out to Sean's OG Merzbow Pulse Demon shirt that he had since the 90s. And he's like, I didn't wash it because I wanted it to smell like the 90s. And he gave me a sample of the shirt smell backstage. And I got to say, it smelled like the 90s. It absolutely smelled like the 90s. You can't tell me that it didn't. So Sean with the OG
Merzbow Pulse Demon. Smelled like CK1 and Drakkar?
Oh, no. That's bad. It would be very 90s, though. That would be very 90s. But yeah, really cool. And again, the mix of styles on the Sunday and the order that Dom created was really perfect. You get something like Lucerne, then you get Cult of Youth, and then you get Old Tower as a duo.
Oh, this Old Tower.
Absolutely, hands down, my favorite Old Tower set. Dude. We've gotten to see Old Tower a good number of times. Absolutely my favorite Old Tower set.
Are you kidding?
The book. The presentation of the whole set was fantastic. The sounds were great. Again, a really nice way to begin this day with these three sets, just leading up to what will later be Total Insanity. But starting it off, obviously a lot of thought was put into the entire running order of Saturday and Sunday. And you felt that here coming off of Cult of Youth and into this Old Tower set. And yeah, I hadn't picked up the newest tape apparently. So I had grabbed one while I was at the fest
album?
Draconic.
You got a tape of it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. It fantastic album.
Love that album.
Yeah, it's so great. And I especially the last track on it, it really goes into this different zone with this drum machine that you haven't necessarily heard from Old Tower. But it's really great. Played some of our favorite Old Tower tracks. The one they ended with, and it's funny because I've referred to it as this, and I heard other people referring to it as the Dead Can Dance style track, which is totally true.
Yeah.
And that one is just incredible. And yeah, because I want to say that one's on one of the 7-inches, if I'm not mistaken, but we've been listening to the Tales of the Mad Moon of all the collections. So sometimes with Old Tower, I may get what release it's on off a little bit, but played a track off Old King of Witches. I mean, it was just, and just the presentation, able to come out from behind the table and the table being adorned with stuff. So you were always in the moment. Yeah. He had this book that they kept holding up.
He really created an atmosphere that the tables had, you know, tablecloths. We had a red cloak and a black cloak, and then a mysterious book on a stand. They come out from behind to do vocals, like a really great performance. And you did feel like you were witnessing a ritual. You were witnessing a spell, like something there was, it was very much like an esoteric practice that you're beholding for this set. And while watching Cult of Youth, I was a little distracted because I could see the specter off to the side of the stage, ready
watching,
to go fully in a cloak, everything on and watching silently. So that was cool. It seemed like the backstage area was being haunted, which was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And boy, how do you follow up Old Tower? You're going to switch some gears. You're going to get eerier. You're going to get slower. You're going to get the Kings of the Deathmatch themselves, Skin Crime.
This was a great Skin Crime set.
Yes.
It was the perfect mix of droning, creepy atmosphere, and textural dense noise, and wonderful tension build up and slight release before switching gears and building in a different direction. It was such a great set. I love watching them play. I love the performative aspect of like Mark playing that piece of metal he had bolted to the table and Pat doing whatever it is that Pat does that makes Skin Crime sound so good.
That's the thing is, I still don't understand what they're doing. I looked at their table. I
literally looked at their table, saw everything, got kind of a walkthrough of it. I still don't know.
I can't tell what they're doing. I can't tell what's going on in their brains when they're up there. It's truly still the greatest. As much as we've gotten to know them over the past years, as much as we've had them on the podcast, as much as we got to hang out with them, still complete mystery to me. So yes. it doesn't take away from anything. Maybe even more mysterious.
Yeah. It's like you peel back the curtain and there's another curtain.
Yeah.
Another curtain.
I mean, I think the consensus, it seemed a lot of people, and of course it does feel that way when you're in the moment, but even thinking about it, maybe the best Skin Crime set. I mean, it's hard to top the first time you see a band, and when we did first see them, it was something really special, but this was really great. And again, you know, everyone having shorter sets than usual. I mean, with us, it was certainly about what we would play normally anyway, but you know, having to condense a little bit, we've seen Skin Crime play for an hour, which is always amazing.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said for having to cut a little bit and not sprawl out as much, having to get a little more pinpoint accuracy. And I think it really benefited in a way. It may have been the best Skin Crime set. And a lot of people were saying that afterwards. So, and just again, seeing it with the video, with the Dahlia slowly morphing from the Conqueror Worm into the Dahlia slowly morphing and the Skin Crime logo was truly, truly dark. And truly, look, you know how we feel about Skin Crime. It was absolutely an incredible set.
It's no secret. The podcast loves Skin Crime.
It is no secret. And it's also no secret that the podcast loves the next project, Third Organ. Dude. All right. So that's the thing is everyone. And so I've really been thinking about a lot. I was thinking about it during the day. I've been thinking a lot about it. And it's something we've talked about in the podcast. It's not like it's this new revelation, but it was all just highlighted on this day. So much of what we talk about, so much of who we love and what we love is the people behind the gear, the personalities, the thing that you can't practice, you can't fake, you can't create, because it just is you. It is Pat and Mark. There's nothing else that they can be. It is Bram. It is Jim. It is Sean. It's pure these people. And I've always said you could blindly play me a noise tape and I might say, oh, it sounds good. But then the personalities, when you peel it back and you show me the title and you show me the band and you show me the name and it's just nothing clicks for me there, then yeah, I don't, it's not a good release or it's not a good live show because it's not the personality. And so something like Third Organ, it is purely Third Organ. He was sitting at the back of the stage behind his gear in a corner.
Big table.
You could show me a bunch of different projects that would do that same thing and I wouldn't care, but I cared so much because it's Third Organ. Absolutely one of my favorite things of the day. And it was just pure Third Organ. And the only, as I was telling people and showed people, the only celebrity selfie I took the entire time I was there was I did get a picture with Third Organ and I got to tell him that, yes, I do believe Loch Ness Monster. And he loved it. He was laughing. And I mean, backstage when we met him, you know, he came in and Dom and Tara and myself were all together. We were just couldn't have been just more so excited. Happy. It was the longest I bowed for the entire time. I did it. I wanted to show him the utmost respect because that's how we feel about it. And dude, what a set, right?
What a set. And the visuals were perfectly understated for this set too, mirroring the nasty, watery, harsh, just relentless blast he was providing.
Dude, so was just punishing.
So punishing. And yeah, just like the watery background. And then all of a sudden the it comes up, you know, believe Loch Ness Monster? And you could hear everyone getting excited, you know, and it was pure Third Organ. It is exactly what I was hoping the Third Organ set would be. And yeah, we realized this is one of those things where in the moment, if I would have said it out loud, it would have maybe been given us a little bit of a jump and a pause. But afterwards we realized, hey, we had to follow our favorite American noise and our favorite Japanese noise. And if I would have maybe, obviously I knew that was happening, but if I would have maybe said it out loud in the moment, it would have been given us a little bit of a jump, but instead we did have to follow.
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, we had to like run downstairs and like maybe grab our stuff backstage and standing off to the side and watching Third Organ. Amazing. I was just like, oh my God, I didn't want to leave, first of all. And second of all, it was just, I don't know. But also I think it helped that we followed him because I was just so happy.
Yeah, it was, totally like, incredible, I was like, space.
Absolutely invigorated. We've said many times, I think Third Organ's the most harsh. And that performance did, it was harsh in a different way. It did not disappoint at all. So it was really invigorating.
Yellow Gas Flames. What a set. I am the only person with the distinction, yes, of seeing every Yellow Gas Flames performance. Oh,
yeah. Correct.
Which is something I wear proudly. I managed to make it to all of your shows. And I have to say that this was the best. Building on the energy, the momentum, the sanity of the last LA show with FFH, which was really great. And the total chaos of that first performance.
Yeah.
this one was awesome. And I filmed it for the Noise Extra Instagram live stream. So that is archived. People can go watch. I got the entire set, I believe. So you can go watch it there and listen and see the chaos. But I was up front, behind the photo, in the photo pit, behind the barrier. And actually, as I was getting out there to start filming you guys, I as soon as I walked back there, there's like three guys in a group together, and all were like, "Oh, hey, oh, we love Noise Extra." I was like, "Yeah, cool." It's like, because I hadn't been, especially the second day, I was doing a lot more like running around and backstage stuff and watching from the balcony and trying to film the stuff for Noise Extra. So I wasn't out in the crowd as much, but it was really nice to start running into people a little bit more then. And that energy, the sound, the chaos, the performance, the video, the lighting, just you guys going wild up there. It sounded great and it looked great. And it was a killer. Killer show. So nice work, guys. As the guy who wasn't involved in it can say, it amped up, like we talked about Sabat on day one, changing the vibe and amping things up. You just finished with two guys making great noise standing behind a table to one guy making nasty, harsh, just miserable, punishing noise sitting at a table. To your table was off to the side. You touched it the bare minimum because the noise devices you have are in your hands. They're tactile, physical things. And so I think at one point Tara threw one of them at me, which I kindly threw back. but no standing at the table, just flying around, jumping, and definitely some jumping. there's a photo where it looks like you're trying to take flight. It's great.
Yeah, Mike has no feet on the ground. I don't think I jumped, but you know,
there's a really great photo of both of you holding your noisemakers above your heads too. The whole performance looked great. The lighting looked great. When Underworld Girlfriends kicked in, I think people went a little bit nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There was a pit. We've seen video and we felt it when we were up there. We've seen video since. There was a pit.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. So just everyone who was there just going nuts in the audience was that we just, it was the feeding, right? It was just feeding back and forth. So really, really, you know, Dom putting us in the middle was a big vote of, you know, really felt that was what was going to happen, was the change in the energy, and more than happy to provide that. And
yeah, it felt we had a job to do.
And that's the other thing. Gray and Tara were filming and doing live videos and archiving them on the Noise Extra Instagram. So you can still go check those out. And, you know, people were asking us if we were going to do interviews and stuff. And we did bring our mics and we brought this.
Thought we might.
Honestly, it just wasn't, it wasn't going to work. It wasn't mm-hmm. where anyone else went, it wasn't where any of us were at, including us as interviewers or us as performers or any of the other performers, because we had all just traveled across the world to play the biggest show we'd ever been a part of. No one wanted to sit down and have a long conversation before or after. It just wasn't, and I didn't want to do it, and none of us wanted to do it, but the contribution that we could provide, especially Gray, especially once the Yellow Gas Flames set mm-hmm. happened and then throughout the rest of the night, was archiving and filming. And we got so many notes from people saying, you know, thank you for doing, you know, filming this so we can all see it. So that really yeah. was the Noise Extra contribution. I'm glad that it wasn't anything else, any other setup, because we had talked about some more professional style things and filming. And honestly, it just, that wasn't what it needed. We needed to just be hanging around with everybody and experiencing
it. Yeah, and live in the moment.
Not asking someone to sit down and do an interview with us. It just wasn't that. No, I would.
It definitely
none of us
wasn't
to do
the
it.
Mood.
It wasn't the vibe.
Yeah, it wasn't the thing.
We brought everything just in case, but honestly, the filming and putting it up there was enough. And just the talking with everybody, talking with all the different listeners.
Well, it's making connections too. Yeah. We got to mm-hmm. meet a lot of people. We got to talk to also a lot of artists and meet artists that we, you know, I hadn't seen Akihiro in 19 years since he played at Green Door. You know, it's nice to connect with him again. And just maybe things in the future, but getting that all set up and being more familiar being there. But around this event, it was a lot of work, as I think a lot of people could imagine how much it is to just go there. And yeah, I flew with all the mics, cables, recorder, backup battery in my bag. Yeah. I had all the stuff ready to go, but it just wasn't the thing that needed to happen. Even the second day, actually, I brought it all. It was all at the venue.
Yeah, yeah, like I brought everything and we had everything.
In the locker.
Yeah. It was like, you know what? It's not the vibe, but the filming was more important than anything we could have done. And like you said, Greg, we've met a bunch of people that we're certainly going to do episodes with in the future, but everyone just wanted to experience it. No one wanted to sit down and talk, and we didn't want to do it. So that is what the video is, the contribution. But boy, thank God. Thank you, Dom, for not having us go any later in this night.
Oh my God. Yep, can you imagine?
Crap.
Jesus.
Not only would it have just been so brutal for us to have to think about doing, but then we got to sit back and enjoy, as one of the lines from the new Geo album says, the final half of the fest and kicking it off. Noise Extra favorite, Linecraft.
Does not disappoint. Brought his own oil barrel this time. Didn't make me bring mine. It's nice. He treats his a little nicer than he treated mine.
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
I noticed that. I mean, he had a bunch of great metal percussion up there.
Yeah.
He drove himself to the fest.
With all that
with
stuff.
With a car full of metal.
Of course
metal.
He did.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
I imagine his car looks like something from Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Totally. I imagine that. And that is it. There's
that's where
else.
He lives. Yeah, that's what it's like. Yeah. That would be fantastic. I don't ever want to destroy that image.
Yeah. I don't even know what can be said about Linecraft Live. Seen him a couple times now. It's always fantastic. His energy. He threw out a couple different flyers with English and Japanese on them, which patrons will see also. I'm going to scan. I've actually already scanned one of them up. Got to scan the other one up and get him up there.
And what's so cool, and this is just goes to show like, we're such old friends, just how we run things, is that there was two of them and Tara and I got one of them and Gray got the other and gave us his.
Yeah.
Other
he
one.
Said he wanted it to be
mistaken.
Complete.
So he said, he's like, hey, I put the other flyer in your guys's bag. And we're like, dude, that is so cool of you to do that.
Yeah. You know what Connelly told me at that time was possession is 9/10 of the law. And funnily enough, they both wound up in my luggage for the flight home.
Oh.
It's so odd that way.
So I will send you guys a scan. Sign up for the Noise Extra Patreon.
Fair play.
Okay, got it.
And I'll scan them for you.
Got it.
Do you know what destroys me is the all night I moved the boxes of all of the flyers that they threw, like, because they like people were standing on them. So I moved them over to the corner. I had access to them all night. I was like, kind of like, you know, protecting them.
Yeah, you don't and want then, one that wasn't thrown out, though. You need one that was thrown into the crowd.
Yeah, it's true. But then I didn't get one. Some lovely person actually saved one for us. So thank you so much. But I was like looking in the boxes like, oh, my God, did they leave one? Is there one left over? Come on.
But hey,
shout out to the homie.
Absolutely.
Yes. Love you, man.
But yeah, I mean, it was great. I love that. And this one had this strange emptiness to it, especially at the end. We was just doing mostly just the vocals and just screaming at the crowd, throwing out the flyers. It just had this feeling. Of course, the video, of course, all the Kaczynski imagery, which is, you know, he had the great Linecraft shirt with Kaczynski on. And it's so cool. Just shout out to Masiko. You know, we've been in there, each other's presence a handful of times, mm-hmm. you know, I've only ever said a handful of things to each other, but only just full support. He's always supported all of our stuff. And we obviously support his stuff.
He's so
and
cool.
He absolutely did remember that, how much that we love Kaczynski. And I always talk about Kaczynski with him. And he came up with the Kaczynski shirt to me. He said, this is a gift for you because it's Kaczynski. And I'm like, oh, dude, that's so cool. You know, so just what a guy. And obviously, look, Linecraft, you know, always, again, much like Lasuria, you could probably drop in any podcast recent listening and chances of Linecraft being in that recent listening are pretty high. So incredible Linecraft set. And again, the order, something, you know, the way it was ordered, you know, the real, you know, classic noise, pure noise right in the middle with Skin Crime, Third Organ, then going to Yellow Gaslamp's, you know, classic, you know, noise inspired with samples though. So a little bit different than what Skin Crime or Third Organ are going to present. And then you go into industrial with Linecraft, and then the PE section really kicks off with the final performance from Agonal Lust.
Yeah.
And wow, obviously getting to hang out with James was a real highlight of the entire weekend.
For sure.
In person.
Yeah, we've all been in contact with him, you know, via text and whatnot, but and phone, but you know, we had never actually been in each other's presence. And so that was a big, exciting and just great time. We all got to really hang out and have great conversations. But you know, being present for the final Agonal Lust set just really put everything he could into it. And you could tell that he was very much He was in it, and he, you know, he knew that this was the last one, obviously, with Jamie's passing. And this was just, what a way to end Agonal Lust.
Yeah, a fitting nail in the coffin for Agonal Lust. A great performance, backed in part by Prurient.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it came out in the end, and it was really cool. There's some amazing pictures up that have just looked incredible, and the video looked great with the swirling sun, and just at one point he's putting his hand up, and it looks so great in the video. And really, there was a section in the middle with this really slow track, and the vocals were very menacing in this very controlled way. That's probably my favorite section of the set. But of course, you know, just, you know, antagonizing the audience, real old school PE. You
menacing,
know what I mean? Real,
like, antagonistic, real, like, full of anguish.
No one knows where they stand.
Yeah.
PE, which is always something that we love.
Yeah. Great, great set from Agonal Lust, and great start to the Prurient appearances.
If Dom wasn't on the clock enough for the past over a year,
oh my god,
boy, he was on the clock this weekend, and goddamn, he outperformed. Because we're getting now a Prurient set, and god, the last time we saw Prurient was with Merzbow in LA, and this is going to be something totally different. This was an overview of a lot of different Prurient styles. They're going to get some with the beatnik and synth, a version of Time's Arrow without the vocals. You're going to get some stuff from the newer era and very minimal vocals, but there was a reason for that. And I think people realized as the night goes on why he saved those vocals, because he's going to be providing some more a little bit later. But great atmospheric Prurient set. The video with the Berkowitz, I mean, you know that we're freaking out.
As soon as we saw that,
all the Berkowitz
stuff. Anyone filming near us, I mean, you can hear.
Yeah.
That's hard. Like the sing-alongs, but Berkowitz.
Yeah, there was someone had a video of Departure, and they were filmed next to us, and it's basically
You see our fists?
No reason to post that video because you're just getting me singing all the lyrics. I'm screaming them. So apologies to that video or anyone who was videoing around us during departure. But yeah, this was just a great, great atmospheric, dark, menacing parade set. And just the logo, all the Birkwood stuff. I mean, we were just in heaven.
Yeah. I've been obsessed with creationists over the past couple years, and this set definitely had part of that atmosphere to it as well. And I really... That's one I keep returning to, just those long 10 minute plus tracks of punishing Doom Electronics.
Yeah, Doom Electronics. This was true Doom Electronics.
And it was so, the sound was so full and it couldn't be anyone else. Like you could just drop us in the middle of that room. Your eyes could be covered. You're dropped in the middle of that room and you would know exactly who you're in the presence of.
Yeah. And that goes for every single set of the day and just a really great praying set. And going to be leading into, I mean, look, this day was owned by the old guard, those who have been doing this since the 80s. And we are going to witness one of the most intense, the tension was palpable and it increased as the set went on.
Mm-hmm.
True industrial power electronics that only could be done by Genocide Organ. Holy shit.
Yeah, there's just no other. Like, Genocide Organ stands alone in what they do. Four people on stage, well, at least at the start.
Well, yeah, at the start.
Four people on stage. Menacing presence from two vocalists, one person just handling mix and making sure everything sounds excellent, and little devices to play. But of course, we start off with machetes.
Dude, just standing there the machetes on their shoulders, masked. The pure, immediately, if you weren't completely fixated, then I get you're not listening to this podcast basically, because there's zero chance you were not completely hypnotized and fixated. And actually a friend of ours was in the front row the entire day too. Actually, we barely even saw him.
Mm-hmm.
But he said being in it and right up front, so totally surrounded, nowhere else to go. He said, I was just completely transfixed from second one till the end.
It's masterful body language.
Yes.
Like truly, in terms of, posture, performance, and having awareness as to what you are doing and the message you're conveying with yourself. It was breathtaking.
And of course,
I have chills right now.
I do too. And of course, the message they're conveying as Geo will always be layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. So once you think you know the message they're conveying, they hit you with a bunch of other things that change your perception. And that's the genius of Geo. That is why they are the greatest.
Once you think you might be dead, you find out you are dead.
Well, that will be coming soon. But the other thing that's a real standout with Geo and something that you don't see because it's so them, come out with the masks, take off the masks, put the mask back on at a certain point. Put a shirt back on. So it's all a choice. It's not just, we're putting on masks and that's what we do for the performance. And we do it for 25 minutes and we stand behind a table and that's it. No, it is all a choice. It is all deliberate and it is all natural. Like nothing feels it feels like this is how they live. And just the way Doc M. Ryan and Dax in the back, like radio operators, and Brigitte and Moloch and out front and just the way it's all put together. And the vocals, no one can do them.
No one can do that.
They're so distinct when it's, when each of them are doing vocals, it's their own style.
Yes.
And it's just them. Did new tracks, did old tracks. I have not stopped thinking about it since it happened, in the moment as it happened. And, there was we knew about what was going to come at the end of the set. And we knew that there was going to be some other people joining them on the stage. And The first person to join them on stage was Purient. And of course, as we've all talked about, the Purient Geo record being a modern masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just knowing the amount of work that went into this entire fest, knowing the blood that has been sacrificed for this entire thing. And then you pull out knowing how much work has been put in all these years. And then you pull out knowing all the work has been put in since Dom started this in 1997. Dom comes out to do Civil War Scapegoat with Geo. I turn over to Tara and she is just weeping with just full, because that's what it was. It was this emotional moment of, oh my God, look what is happening. Look what's happening in front of us. Look what we're witnessing. And those just didn't stop the rest of the set.
Well, basically, it was so powerful. And look, I'm not like I don't like cry at sappy commercials, but I'll cry at triumphant moments.
And that's what this was.
You know what I mean? Like I'll read a historical novel about a battle and start crying. But like, this felt like that. Like this felt like you could feel all of the moments and the effort and the time and the energy that went into making all of this happen. And for all of us to like get to that point where we can enjoy it and just have that release of this really intense moment that was so stuffed full of so many emotions, you know, it was a very emotional performance and a very emotional as an audience member, because you're just going through like so many complex thoughts and feelings. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And there's never going to be another performance like that.
Civil War Scapegoat, just them doing the vocals together. It was unreal.
Amazing.
I had the pleasure of seeing Jenna Sorogin a good few times. This time was slightly different because I was up top filming and not in front being terrified and mesmerized. But the performance was so good. So many different places they go within the set list that by the time Purient comes out to join them, it's like, what it can even happen next? And what happens next was...
Well,
yeah,
I mean, what
some
happens
people
next?
Might have noticed the clues, the unannounced Grey Wolves 7-inch on the hospital merch table, the Grey Wolves CD on the Tesco merch table, the tiny wolf's head logo on the back of the shirt in the lineup between Lusuria and Purient, and maybe even one of the Grey Wolves wandering around Osaka every now and then.
He was in the area.
I happened to run into the Grey Wolves, a Grey Wolf and Wilhelm Herrick on Friday while out just exploring Osaka. And what a treat to get to witness. And this, it's hard to even put into words.
It is how really exciting to put into words.
It was and still is. Luckily, I've seen the Grey Wolves once before, that time with Condom assisting, which was also a really, really special thing. But that has been 25 years.
It's so long and we've never seen him. And so Dave did come out to do one track with Geo and Purient. So they were all on stage, Body Count with lyrics, "You're Already Dead," pointing out to the audience, pointing to people, "You're dead, you're dead." Dude, he owned that stage when he came out.
Yes, he did.
And I mean, I've seen some footage. Obviously, we've never seen him, but I've never seen him like that. I mean, he was in a completely different state. Would you say that, Gray, having seen them?
Again, 25 years.
Right. But I just, he was just in a totally different state.
Yes.
He owned it. He owned the audience. He was just in, and it just kept going. It kept going. And everyone
was an absolute killer. It was
just unbelievable. And the way that track ends, fading into with each new day dawning, I'll be thanking you, and just ending that way. I'm getting chills right now thinking about it. I'm getting chills talking about it. I'll never forget it. I think about it. I've thought about it every single day. I will continue to think about it for the rest of my life. We've been listening to Grey Wolf so much. Yeah, that 7-inch is just unbelievable. Looks so great. Picture disc. And, you know, and again, the watching people figure it out while throughout the weekend was exciting. I mean, look, you know, behind the curtains, Tara and I were aware, but we did not want to spoil the surprise because it's much like Gray has surprised us at an out of town show that we didn't know he was coming to, but that's what we call a fun surprise. I don't like pranks. I like a fun surprise.
It's a delight. Really. Yeah.
So we didn't even tell Gray and we had a moment where like, should we tell Gray? I'm like, dude, let's have him figure it out. Cause it'll be more fun that way. It'll be more exciting. And so once I did on the Sunday, I'm like, so when did you figure it out? He's like, well, when I saw him, I had a feeling. And then the merch, you know, so it's sort of, you put it all together, right? All the clues kind of came together and then it just all happened. And my God, everyone there just lost their mind.
It was wild watching the bar for all future performances being raised right before our eyes, from Prurient, then up.
Oh, I guess like
Geo, then Grey Wolves, and you're just like, bar is real high now.
Yeah, shit. Yeah, that's it. So
luckily,
the organizers
thought about that bar.
They thought about this. So that was it. There was nothing else on the day. Nothing else could, you know, super exciting that happened after that, right?
Oh no! Actually, no. There's something I remember after it was. Oh yeah, Masana.
Oh my God! How do you follow Geo, Geo Prurient, Grey Wolves?
It's the only person who can do it.
How do you do it? Oh, I don't know. 3 minutes that we will never forget. And my God, we saw Masana.
Finally.
Dude,
finally.
We saw
this
Masana.
Podcast you're listening to is
scream.
Named after a Masana record.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that already, which I'm sure you did, there's a reason. And it's because he is truly one of the greats.
Yeah.
So much into those performances that we've seen on the old tapes were things of legend, things that inspired us, that got us into this stuff, that made us part of this noise world, that indoctrinated us to this thing we love, this thing that we talk about all the time, this thing that we travel 5,000 miles to be a part of. The Masana is
our life.
A huge part of that reason.
Yeah.
And getting to finally witness his energy, that explosive, unique, personal, 100% him power energy that he puts out there in person is, it is not something I will forget.
And it was like, could anybody ever live up to our expectations of what we think of Masana? Like, is it possible to live up to what we're expecting out of Masana? Because we hold him in just like the absolute highest regard. Like, could it deliver? It delivered more.
It was
unbelievable.
So amazing.
It was so wild.
Obviously, the talk of leading up to the festival, especially during the weekend, was
how long/how short
is he going
to
play?
I wanted to have a betting pool.
And so, you know, everyone was just, what's it going to be? He comes out, the freaking rainbow lighting that was just completely psychedelic and insane.
Perfect.
The Masana logo, you didn't need anything else. Just comes
smoke
out ripping. There's just no one can do what he does. He looked unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was just, we were in the presence of, again, I don't think there's words strong enough, you know, legend, you know, hero. None of those words
it's
are
like
even strong enough to what we
human.
Are witnessing. We were all, everyone was riveted and everyone was ready for whatever Masana was going to do. Was it going to be 10 seconds? Was it going to be 1 minute? What was it going to be? And so that was the feeling he's going. Everyone just couldn't believe it. Everyone couldn't believe what we were witnessing. It was happening. And then, you know, he's just pure Masana, runs off to the side of the stage. The noise is still running. And you felt this feeling of like, okay, is he going to come back?
Mm-hmm.
Is this it? When those curtains started closing, I'm getting the chills.
Yeah.
The crowd exploded because there's literally no one in the world that could make a crowd explode because of how short the set was. It was in the, we say 3 minutes. Was it 3:15? It was in the 3 minute mark.
You go from open
however
curtain
you,
to closed curtain.
However
as
you do
kind
it.
Kind of in, the accepted.
It was in
time,
the 3 minute mark.
Yeah.
The crowd exploded. It couldn't have gone any longer. It couldn't have gone any better. Nope. It was exactly what everyone wanted. And it was exactly what we all traveled across the world to see. And we'll never forget it. We will never forget seeing Masana after that entire day.
And we thought nothing could get better. And I will say that moment with the curtains, like everybody was kind of gobsmacked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like there was that, I love when an audience has that pause where everybody's just kind of waiting and quiet, just dead silence. And then the curtains close and it was just like explosion, like riotous explosion of joy. It was
absolutely perfect. The only thing that could have followed the intensity and tension that was Geo Parent, Grey Wolves. Absolutely perfect.
And Masada looked fucking great.
Oh, dude.
He looked great.
Come on.
Rolling around on the floor.
Come
like,
on.
He looked so cool. I mean, dudes,
if you
like
watch
everything.
The video,
God.
On the Noise Extra Instagram, you can see a couple parts where I'm like dodging. He's flying towards me and I'm worried because I was on the side of the stage to film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's, it's like a madman. I thought I was going to get smacked into, which would have been the highest honor, but also I wasn't trying to let that happen. Just everything that I had hoped it would be. And yeah, still thinking about it.
Can't stop thinking about it.
After Masana, arguably the toughest act.
Dude, to follow. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah. We had a nice come down, bring down
all that could happen.
Modular set from Beharit. And that's what it was. I think people were still reeling from Masana. People were still talking about Masana. People were still talking about Geo Prurient. So an icy, atmospheric tonal set was what followed. And I think it was I think there would have been too much energy if they had let us out loose on the streets of Osaka right after performance.
That needed to happen.
Because
nobody wanted to leave.
No one wanted to leave. That exactly what needed to happen. Everyone got to come down. We got to go talk with everybody. We met a bunch of really great people. And yeah, man, look, this was truly the greatest weekend of our lives leading up to this. I don't know when this could ever be topped. I know that if it is ever topped, it'll be put together by the same people who have this vision, and we can't thank them enough. I mean, they were the reason we all were in Japan. They're the reason we got to see all this. So just know how important and special this entire time was. And if you were there, you know it. If you weren't there, watch the videos and just know what, you know, because you, even not being there, you were, all this is leading up to this. All these years of doing this podcast, all what's been happening in the past 5 years with Noise and this excitement and this palpable feeling of what Noise is and what it can be. It's all, everyone who's listened to the podcast, is everyone who orders from every label and everyone who supports the underground. So if you were listening to this and you're supporting the underground, you were absolutely a part of this in some way. So just go watch those videos, relive it over and over. And hey, if there's another one announced, just start saving those pennies right away and just make it happen, because it was well worth your while. So that was the Nuclear Now Hospital Fest Volume 1, Osaka, Japan. My God.
I know, we're trying to describe the undescribable, but I truly can't express the feelings that you got from other people there. Like everyone was just so
meeting everybody,
warm and helpful and welcoming and supportive. And like, I don't even know how to describe it. I was just like, you know, going from like person to person to person. And I just couldn't, I never had any negative energy. Like everybody was just so rad. Like I can't express it enough, like how awesome everybody was. And like, really want to thank everybody who came up to us and talked to us, because I really enjoyed you and I enjoyed talking to you. And I hope that comes off as genuine, because I truly mean that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say one thing we did not mention, and we'll say it right now to finish this off, that was some negative energy, the power of negative energy, and that being the 66 seconds of silence that preceded the Prurient set with the 666 volt battery noise collage video that was put together in honor of 666 volt battery noise. That was really powerful and great and really set up the final section of the night. So we do want to make sure to say how incredible that was and a great thing that Dom put together before the set. So there was some negative energy.
Oh, that's true.
The power
It was potent energy. It was potent. It drove us forward.
Absolutely incredible. So we will pop over to the Patreon and talk about some other things we did in Japan now. But thank you for everyone who came up to us to say hi. Thank you for everyone who was there. And thank you to Dom and Becca, particularly for day two, for what was put together, and as well as Yusuke, as well as everyone else who worked for the entire fest. We can't say thank you enough.
Hey, patrons.
You have been listening to Noise Extra. Noise Extra is brought to you by Chondritic Sound, a home to noise artists for over 20 years, by Verdant Weapons, maker of quality contact microphones and noise devices, and by our Patreon supporters. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/noiseextra, and your support really helps. You can find us on Instagram at Noise Extra, on the web at noiseextra.com, one E in those, and on Twitter at Noise Extra, with three A's at the end. Thank you for listening to us and to Noise.